You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, my friend, to episode number 168 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
It's Brutal Dave.
What's up, Brutal Dave? First of all, happy 50th anniversary a week late to one of our to our second home, our favorite place in the world, the Haunted Mansion.
Indeed.
I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos where they were at this, you know, $200 or $300 event that they had.
I haven't watched any of that stuff yet.
They started like a midnight type of deal, and it was basically just a chance for them to sell you merchandise.
That's the impression I had. Yeah. I know there were crazy lines for special Haunted Mansion merch.
I'm getting the Madame Leota Glow in the Dark Funko Pop, of course.
Cool.
Did you see all the Haunted Mansion ones coming out?
I feel like I saw something like that.
There's like a Box Lunch exclusive. There's a Hot Topic exclusive. They're going to be sold in like Target, Hot Topic, and Box Lunch.
There's
going to be mystery minis, you know, the little small ones.
Yeah.
They're not really mystery mini because they're sort of open box so you can see what you're getting.
Okay. And then Target has a
blue chrome exclusive 3-pack. Of the Hitchhiking Ghost, and they have t-shirts. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
A Hitchhiking Ghost t-shirt?
They will. I don't know when they're going to be out exactly.
I might have to go look at
that. It's probably, if they have it available, I'll order two of them.
Okay.
What size are you?
Large right now, but continually shrinking. So,
all right, we'll just get a large.
I was in XLs this time last year.
So. Yeah.
And now they're getting big on me.
It's always good.
It's a good thing. But do you think, Haunted Mansion turned 50. We're going to talk about this a little
bit. Oh, by the way, George isn't here.
George, hi. George isn't here.
We hope he gets better soon. He hurt himself today, so.
Under mysterious circumstances. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. I don't think it was the future misses.
Oh.
But yeah,
get
well soon, bud.
Is it weird that now 50 years into Haunted Mansion, we're seeing all of this Haunted Mansion hype? Is it weird to you?
No, because what I think it is, it's always had a huge fan base, but I don't think Disney ever realized how much of a fan base there was,
how much they could sell to.
Yeah. They figured out they could start selling everything with Haunted Mansion on it, and they're like, let's do it.
Yeah.
And it's selling out. People are buying this shit. I don't care. Before, used to be hard-pressed to go to Disney and
find anything
with a Haunted Mansion logo on it, t-shirt, whatever it was. Now they're everywhere.
Yep, and they have their own dedicated store.
Memento Mori.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Candlemass.
Or is it?
Oh.
I don't know. That was just a thought I had. It seems weird a little bit in hindsight.
I'm okay with it, too.
Oh, I'm fine with it. I think it's great. Haunted Mansion was an integral part of forming who I am as a person.
That is exactly right. It's still forming is who I am as a person today.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to get to that because our topic this evening, since me and you are both geeks and we're very geeky about the Disney theme parks. So we're going to talk about our favorite attractions, rides, attractions, shows, all that kind of stuff. I think that'll be a lot of fun. I've heard a lot of, different podcasts that I listen to talk about this stuff recently. And I was like, you know, I have different opinions in some of them, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
So what have you been up to lately? What have you been doing? It's been a while since we've recorded.
Yeah.
We've all been so busy.
The last time...
The right after Comic-Con.
Well, the last time you guys recorded. I was not here.
That's right.
I was heading out the door for Classic Game Fest in Austin.
How was that?
Great as always. We always have a really good time there.
Speaking of Haunted Mansion, you got me this cool little Haunted Mansion / Mario print. It's cool.
Yeah, so it's by an artist friend of mine. Her name's Brittany Falcon. You can find A Tiny Tentacle. If you look A Tiny Tentacle on social media, you can find some of her work.
We'll link to her. Is it on Instagram?
She's on Instagram,
We'll link to her stuff on our the website on metalgeeks.net.
Well, she does this kind of cutesy artwork stuff. She does a lot of video game characters, big eyes, big heads, very cute cartoonish surroundings. But she's also a metalhead and a big horror fan.
Oh, cool.
And so she'll do creepy stuff in this really cutesy style. And so this piece in particular is Princess Peach as the girl in the Haunted Mansion painting, the stretching painting. And instead of an alligator trying to eat her, it's a piranha plant.
That's right. So
that was cool. We always enjoy going to Classic Game Fest. The people who show up are always really enthusiastic to be there. It's an enthusiastic show all around. The people that put it on are great. Volunteers are great.
I need to get out there one year. Yeah. I mean, it's exactly I love that type of stuff, the retro games and everything. Were there bands this year too?
Yep, they had bands again this year. They had heard some really solid Mega Man heavy covers of Mega Man music. So
when I was at PAX South, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we saw this band live. They did the entire soundtrack to Mega Man 2 as a guy I was on stage doing a speed play through it.
What was their name? You remember?
I don't. I wish I did remember the name.
Okay.
The One Up? No. 8-Bit Brigade? I don't remember.
8-Bit Force?
Maybe.
Okay.
Something 8-bitty.
Okay. A lot of those guys do have 8-bitty names, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was hot in Austin. It's felt like it's been unseasonably warm even for here.
Yes. We've had days of like 100, it feels like 110, 112 type. Mm-hmm. Wow. And I have to wear long sleeves to work every day. It sucks.
But other than, I've been busy getting ready for a bunch of other stuff, but I've been making a point for some of my busy to be having fun. I've been going to a lot of shows recently.
You have been going to a lot of concerts.
Yeah.
What have you seen?
I guess this last round, excuse me, kind of kicked off with, I'm going to do this again. All right.
He's getting
better.
Choked up over here. I'm sorry.
So, this last round of shows, I guess, kicked off with Alice Cooper, which was 2 weeks ago.
They've been that long already?
It has to have been, because I've done a bunch of stuff since then.
We talked about Alice Cooper before we recorded, and I think I mentioned I've seen him like 4 times in my life.
I'd not seen him before.
Amazing performer. He's immaculate.
So, and that was one of those, I've never seen him perform before. That's a living legend. That's a show I need to see while I can. You never know.
That's right.
You never know.
You never know, man.
So that's a living legend I needed to see, and I'm glad I did.
Have you checked out his other band, the Hollywood Vampires?
No.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's good rock and roll
music.
It's
like him and Johnny Depp.
The guitar player from Aerosmith.
Joe Perry.
Do you know the history about the Hollywood Vampires?
No.
So in the late 60s, very late 60s, it was a soccer group that Alice Cooper was in. Mickey Dolenz was in it.
Oh, really?
Keith Moon was in it. I think Ringo Starr hung out with some. It was all these famous people. And what it turned out to be, they played like 1 or 2 games. And then they went to the Rainbow Room and hung out and drank.
Okay.
So it turned into not be a sports club, but it turned into a drinking club.
Okay.
And that was the whole – you can look – Google the original Hollywood Vampires, what they were about. It's a very interesting story. And then when Alice Cooper was putting this band together, he's like, yeah, I want to – let's call it the Hollywood Vampires. It's a historic name, you know?
That's funny. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah, for one song he was wearing a Hollywood Vampires jacket or something like that. This was kind of cool too. if you're a baseball fan, Astros fan, the first part of the encore, he came out wearing a custom Astros jersey.
That's cool.
On the back was Cooper, number 18. Nice. I was like, well done. Yeah.
So I don't get the 18.
It's one of his songs, 18.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I feel like an idiot now.
Yeah.
He's 18. He can do what he wants.
That's right. Exactly. So I thought that was pretty cool. It was, it of course, went over really well with the...
It's like that, okay, when he probably did that song originally, he was definitely, he was way over 18.
He's definitely way over 18.
Yeah, well, now he is. It's like the Beatles song, When I'm 64. It's mm-hmm. like now, When I Was 64. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he... And he played that song, and it's kind of funny watching him sing that song.
Anthrax did that cover back in like 80 or like mid 80s.
Did they?
Yeah.
So let's see. Alice Cooper, a lot of fun. I was telling you this earlier.
They played with what? Hailstorm?
Hailstorm and Motionless in White.
I'm sorry.
Who thankfully I missed entirely.
Good timing.
Yeah. We pulled that off. Just right. We watched Hailstorm's performance from the lounge, which is an air-conditioned bar at the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion.
These broadcast on the TV.
Yeah, the show is being simulcast on a big screen in there. It was hot. It was that unseasonable heat that I've been talking about.
Did you
about.
Have seats? Or?
We had really good seats, actually. Mm-hmm. Those were probably the best seats that I've had at Cynthia Woods. So had a really good view of the show. But yeah, we watched of Hailstorm, we watched from the lounge, and it was okay.
They're okay. It's not one of those bands that I despise or I don't like their originals, but they do actually a lot of good covers.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. That's the best
I can say. I mean, there's definitely some skill and there's stuff going on there. It's just not really for me.
Exactly.
I guess I can see why people enjoy it like they do, but it's not doing a lot for me personally. But I don't mean that to, you know, be derogatory or mean to anybody. It's just not for me.
Yep. No, I'm on board with that.
So that was awesome. Oh, I was telling you earlier that the thing that really struck me while I'm watching Alice Cooper play. You know, the whole stage production thing mm-hmm. is like a Spirit Halloween store exploded, and here's all the leftover pieces. And that's awesome. I love that. And we were talking about how he may not have been the first, but Alice Cooper put shock rock on the map.
Yeah.
He made it a name.
None of the bands that are out there doing what they're doing from either Gwar or Slipknot or
Manson,
any of that stuff, nobody would have Rob Zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would be able to do what they're doing without Alice Cooper.
And what struck me in all
I'm sorry,
that
Vincent.
Is he had his name legally changed. He is Alice.
That is so, did he really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. He is legally Alice Cooper.
All right. That makes it easy.
He's always done this cheesy Halloween decoration.
It's campy.
Campy.
It's fun and campy.
Thing. And that he inspired this whole genre and
dude, if we didn't have
groups.
Alice Cooper, we wouldn't have King Diamond.
Probably not.
Definitely not.
Because he's very much the same way.
Yeah.
You know, so many of the artists that we just mentioned and others have gone darker and heavier and more gruesome and more violent over years and years. Fine. That's the nature of the genre is to push those boundaries. That's cool. But Alice Cooper has always been comfortable just being Alice Cooper.
If you haven't,
I think that's fantastic.
If you haven't heard the album he put out in 2018, it's really fucking good. Like, there's the second part of the album, he actually got past members of the band – his band to come back in and do stuff, and it's really catchy. This song Paranoid Personality,
mm-hmm.
I don't remember the name, it might be the name of the album too, I can't quite remember, but it's really fucking catchy. As soon as you say Alice Cooper now, that song pops in my head. It's pretty
cool.
Crazy.
All right, very cool. So that was a great experience. I finally got to see him get his head cut off in person, and that was meaningful for me. Great show. Next day we went to see a bunch of local guys play. Small venue here in town, The Secret Group. We went to see Necrofire.
You're wearing right now. You're wearing
I'm wearing my Necrofire shirt. So
Dauber's new band.
Dauber's new band, black metal band. You haven't seen them live yet.
I have not yet seen
you
them live.
You need to see them live.
I plan to.
Because, wow. They put on, I mean, they don't do a lot except play, but they just have the presence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like they own this place while they're playing.
And not to blow smoke up anybody's butt, but, you know, I'm friends with Dauber. I've known him for 25 years, mm-hmm. probably. He's one of my favorite drummers of all time.
I don't know him near as well as you do.
He's one of my favorite drummers.
I don't know him near as well as you do, but every time I get to see him play, I'm like, this is one of the best drummers I know of.
Yes.
He is phenomenal.
And not just a local band, but like
of anybody.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And I'm the same way. I'm not trying to blow smoke. I think he's just straight up that good. So that was this was a free show put on at the Secret Group. It was sponsored
by Brash.
Right?
Yeah, I've been out to Brash before. It's fun.
I haven't been out there, and like that's like I'm into craft beer. I'm into metal. Like I need to go to the fucking Brash.
We need to get partnered with them.
Yeah,
and go do some live shows from there.
Yeah,
I think that'd be fun.
That would be good. So the show opened with Primordial Hollow, very kind of like old school, straightforward, atmospheric black metal kind of stuff. You know,
that was about right.
They were cool. I liked them. I think it was their first show.
Wow.
That they did, and I felt like they did a pretty good job. Baptized by Fire, more traditional death metal kind of stuff. They were very good.
You can sort of tell by band names now what kind of style they play.
Yeah, yeah. So that brings me to the next one. Black Vice. Do you know Black Vice?
I do not.
What kind of music do they play based on their name, smart guy?
Okay. like post-punk type stuff?
They were another atmospheric black metal band.
Oh, were they?
They're from Austin.
Okay.
They all wore full like black hooded shrouded robes, and the front man, it was he had a giant like raven skull mask that he performed in the entire time. It was enormous.
Must have been comfortable.
It looked incredibly uncomfortable. but they were really good.
But awesome looking.
I really liked their set. And then Necrofire closed out the night. So it was just a full night of blasphemy and, you know, that kind of thing. Good
awesome.
Stuff.
I don't know. We've had a lot of work done on the house recently. And I think that weekend that show was happening – I was stuck at my house for like 2 fucking days while they're doing shit. And it's like, can you one guy hurry it up? We got shit to do. But
then, let's see, last Wednesday. No. So that was Friday. So then last Saturday, just a few days ago, I went to, Dan Electro's here in town. And saw I went there primarily to see Brimstone Coven. I love Brimstone Coven.
Yes.
So they were playing with Spillage, who's another kind of doomish kind of band from Chicago. They've been around for quite a long time. I was not familiar with them.
I am not.
Pretty good. They're not bad. And then so they opened. This is a tiny venue, but it was one of those like it felt like the right place though for the for this to happen. You know,
right.
It's one of those small club, intimate setting, while these bands are just like tearing things up, kind of nights. It was cool. So they Spillage played first. I didn't catch all of their set. I got there late. A car exploded on the freeway.
You showed me the video. That's pretty fucking metal.
It was a very metal evening. And so I caught the
not end your
of their
car,
set.
But somebody else's
no,
car.
No, it was I don't know who it was, and I'm saying this in jest under the assumption that everyone is okay.
Right.
I hope they are. So if I'm being insensitive, it's completely unintentional and I apologize. It was a sight to see. So Spillage played. They were pretty cool. I only caught the last couple of songs of theirs. Then Brimstone Coven played. They were awesome. If you can catch them, I think they still have a few dates left on this tour. I don't know where all they're going, though. If you can catch them, though, man, go see them. They were – I felt like they were album accurate live. Wow. Like they were,
I need to see them when they come back. Then.
They sounded to me live just like I was listening to an album, and a lot of fun, a lot of good energy. Then our friends in Sanctus Bellum closed out the night out there, and they just went up there and just had fun. Like they just went up there and had a blast.
Yeah,
and they were very entertaining while they did.
We've had Maurice on both of our shows actually.
Mm-hmm. We and Jan came on one of our Comic Palooza shows.
That's right,
as well.
The other guitar player and he plays keys in Blues Funeral. Came on one of the live shows at Comic Palooza.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. Another, again, really great night. And then last night, went to Scout Bar. And
God damn, dude. You've seen a lot of shows recently.
I know. I've been busy.
I've been slacking.
Last night, went to Scout Bar, saw my friends in Epic Death.
Yeah.
Opened up the night.
I've been talking. We need to get them on one of our shows because we've been trying to plan it since like last year. This is hasn't happened. But now... I think we both have a little bit of free time now. Let's arrange it with them.
Okay.
It's going to be fun to have Becky and her and the rest of the band, whoever can make it.
Yeah. Yeah. So Becky and Dennis.
Yeah.
They.
You've known them for a long time.
I've known them for a long time. They were in their band prior. And my old band, we used to play a lot of shows together in the Dallas-Fort Worth area back in those days, in the old days. So yeah, we used to run around together a lot. And so, I've kept up with them through the years, but I haven't been able to see them play in almost that long. Like it's been it might've been since I was playing that.
They
I
are really
play.
Epic.
They were
live.
Surprisingly good showmen.
Yeah.
Like it was really, really impressive performance.
They have their stage presence down amazing.
They do, yeah. Really do.
I saw them open up for Wolfheart last year in, I think it was Morris Principium Est.
Yeah.
They were amazing.
Yeah. Like they were every bit as professional as anybody else.
Yes. Agreed.
So it was really great to see them again. I'm really proud of the work that they've done. I think that, and they played some new material last night as well. Oh. It sounded really cool.
I have their CD over here somewhere.
Yep, they've got a new one they're working on. They've been telling me about it. They're doing I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it. Maybe I'm not supposed
to. We'll have them come on and talk about them.
So anyway, I'll let them spill whatever beans they want to spill. I'll not do it for them. That would be uncouth of me.
Master was a headliner, right?
Master was a headliner. Before we got to Master, a band called Dusk played, who I had never heard of before.
Me either.
They've apparently been around since 1993. I talked to them after their performance, and I asked them about that. I said, how is it that you guys have been around since 1993 and I haven't heard of you before? And I didn't ask it that way. That would have been very arrogant of me.
Never heard of you guys before. Where have you been?
Where have you been, you best? But, no, I just asked them. I asked the front man, I've been in the scene for a while. You guys have been around since 93. I've never come across you guys before. I just found that odd. And he goes, well, actually, it's not really that odd. We formed back then. We did a small release, played a handful of shows,
yeah.
And then we just didn't. And so gotcha. Now they're coming back, and they're releasing some newer
material.
Do
they have an album out yet?
They have some new material.
Okay.
They're old school death doom, just like down tempo death metal music, and it's all
sounds good to me.
What the fuck is a guitar solo? We don't care. We're just all in this like low end. Their drummer was the fills and all the little tasty little things that
nice.
He filled in.
We have to check them out during our first break.
Yeah, I was very impressed by their show. I was very surprised, and so enjoyed that. And then they were followed by another band I was not familiar with. A group of guys from Brazil called Claustrophobia, playing more of a thrash death metal style.
Sounds
very,
about right.
Very, it's like the on the death metal spectrum, they're like the polar opposite of Dusk. Dusk was all down tempo and slow and just the heavy. And then these guys came on and thrashed it up, and they were crazy and lots of leads and screaming. And
so speaking of, we just saw. Before we were watching YouTube, so we watched this band Torch,
yeah,
who have a lot of hype behind them right now. they played on the late night with Seth Meyers last night. So we watched the first. We watched. I guess they did two songs. The second song was like a digital only release. It was only on the YouTube channel, but it was fucking slow and doomy,
sludgy,
fucking
heavy.
Sludgy, yeah. And heavy. I'm like, this is amazing. And then like the other song that they played, which was like their single song, it was sort of happy and poppy, much more radio friendly, thinking along the lines of really. Really poppy, Baroness, maybe?
It was
the Cure.
It was like Red Dwarf and, or not Red Dwarf, I'm in a different genre.
Red
now.
Fang.
Different thing. Yeah, Red Fang and the Cure. That's like what it sounded like. Yeah. If Red Fang and the Cure did an album together.
I think George would actually fucking love it. Maybe. He probably knows about it already. We have to find out.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. Have you seen any movies recently?
Yeah, I guess since the last time we talked, saw the new Lion King.
Okay, we can skip right past that.
Did you not like it?
Okay, I don't. We haven't had this discussion yet. No, maybe it was with George. George fucking hated it, of course. I don't know if I really hated it, but I don't think there was a reason for it because it was a shot for shot remake.
I don't think there. It mostly was.
There's a couple of small changes, but wasn't like Aladdin where they made enough changes that sort of made it different enough.
I liked this a lot more than I liked Aladdin.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It was beautiful. I mean, it was a great looking,
magnificent looking movie.
Amazing looking, but
talking about the shot for shot thing.
Yeah.
The way the movie opened, they shot for shot redid the opening.
Oh yeah.
Excuse me. I'm gonna sneeze. No, I'm not. I have problems tonight. But yeah, they completely shot for shot redid the opening sequence of The Lion King. Now, in 1994, when The Lion King came out, that sequence was groundbreaking. This was groundbreaking animation. They were doing stuff that people hadn't done before. As an animation nerd, I'm into that. So watching them reimagine that whole thing and redo it, I was in love. Like, that whole first opening sequence, I thought
I just
was
hate
beautiful.
I hate they're calling it live action, because it's not really live action.
It's not.
It's
no,
all CGI.
There's nothing live action in it at all.
No. Not even the background.
So, it's still being animated, and they've just reimagined what that animation looks like. And I thought that opening sequence was magnificently beautiful, and there was a lot of really beautiful stuff through the movie.
Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner as Timon and Pumbaa were great.
I did not know that I needed Seth Rogen to be Pumbaa.
Yeah, right.
But he was great.
And him trying to sing.
And Billy Eichner, I feel like Billy Eichner must have gone and hung out with Nathan Lane for a weekend.
I think he's just as flamboyant.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say like that, but
I mean, he is though.
Yeah.
He has that Nathan Lane energy that Billy Eichner high, like Billy Eichner's very frenetic.
Yeah. He's out there.
Yeah. And so, those two were definitely the strongest part of the movie.
And, what's his name? Zazu.
He was great. John Oliver. When they announced that John Oliver was going to be Zazu, I was like, yeah, that's right. That's perfect.
And the people that I expected to be better. Yeah. So Beyonce was in it. Really care.
She was terrible.
It was horrible. And, I hate to say it, but Childish Gambino.
He was serviceable. If I may,
you can steal that.
If I may,
he felt like I mean, I like him a lot.
I do too.
It just felt like he sort of called it in. You know what I mean?
Kind of.
And
also felt like,
and Scar as well.
You know who I felt? I felt like they wished they could get Idris Elba to play Scar.
Right.
That's how I was reading that whole thing.
They should have done, okay, they brought back
James Earl Jones.
Why not?
They didn't even have to do that. Because he says the exact same things in this movie that he does. They should have just reused his audio. And
if they're going to bring back James Earl Jones, they needed to bring back Jeremy Irons, because he is Scar.
Yeah.
He is such a – he had such a menacing performance, and – Chiwetel Ejiofor, is that his name?
Yeah, I have trouble with his name, and I like him.
It was okay. It wasn't good.
I think he's a good actor. But I felt like
it just felt like some of people were,
they wanted somebody else, Idris Elba.
Yeah,
and
some people were just phoning it in to get a paycheck.
Things I didn't, like I said, I mostly enjoyed it. Things I didn't like, they totally gutted one of the best songs in the movie, Be Prepared.
Oh, no shit,
what
right?
What the fuck?
It was like a spoken word piece. I'm like, what are they doing?
They gutted, like, that is one of the best parts of the original.
Yeah.
That whole song, that song is brilliant. And they were like, yeah, fuck it, whatever, we don't care, throw it
he
out.
He sings, like, the line at the last time, at the last line. It's like, dude.
Yeah, and that was it. So that was very disappointing. Beyonce singing Can You Feel Love Tonight was, like, terrible.
Grated. It was, oh, grating on my
it
nerves.
It was grating. Yeah, it was bad. So, yeah, a lot of the music of the music was very disappointing.
Her style is not what we're into,
That's
pop
true.
Style.
But even so,
exactly right.
Even so, I felt like she wasn't doing a good job.
Right, yeah. I was about to say the same thing. I mean, we can tell when a singer is doing a good job or not, no matter what genre of music it is, even if we like it or not, you can just tell.
It just felt bad. So, I mean, this to me was one of these Disney remakes. I enjoyed this one for the most part. I felt like it's one of the better ones that they've done. Still has its problems. Still unnecessary. I will tell you one thing I did really like, though. I really liked how they handled Sky Mufasa.
Oh, yeah.
That you never really see him.
Right.
He's like in... He is the clouds.
Yeah.
And you only catch glimpses of him in the lightning and stuff. I really liked that. I thought that was
cool. I did like Keegan-Michael Key as one of the hyenas, though.
Yeah.
He's
great
in everything.
Well, there's another one is because you know they wanted Jordan Peele to play alongside him.
They had to.
It read just like that. It read like, we really wish...
At least they got him for Toy Story 4.
Yeah. And that worked.
Yeah.
They were funny together in Toy Story 4. But yeah, what is the comedian's name who played opposite Keegan-Michael Key, the other hyena? I'm going blank on
his name. Is it Eric Andre?
Eric Andre, yes.
Yeah.
That's right. I felt like the whole thing, they wanted Eric Andre to be Jordan Peele. Through the whole movie.
Can you read that like Jordan Peele for us?
Can you have a little bit more rapport with Keegan? Could you do that?
I know you're not in the same studio together, but can you pretend like you're on a TV show?
This one. That was actually one of the villain characters that they actually did something more interesting with.
Yes, that's definitely true.
Yeah, so that was cool.
They fleshed her out a lot more.
Yeah, so I liked that too.
All right.
Then, won't talk about this one long, but it's good... Worth a laugh, at least. Tuesday night, we went and saw Dora and the Lost City.
Did you really?
Yes, we did. Yes,
okay,
we did.
All right. Okay, I have a small interest in seeing it, but not wanting to pay to see it type of interest.
That's fair. I have small children.
True.
My wife really wanted to see this movie.
What did you think?
It was a lot funnier than I was expecting it to be.
That's what I've heard.
I laughed a lot more than I thought. The trailer I thought was kind of funny. It's very self-aware. Like, it's very much a joke about itself. And I was a little bit worried going in that was going to be the only joke they had and it was going to really wear thin. But they did enough with it. They stayed funny. They kept finding new ways to make this stuff ridiculous. Because that's the whole gist of the movie is that Dora the Explorer has grown up. She's in high school now and gets pulled into this crazy jungle adventure. But I guess the way the movie is playing it is like all of the stuff that happened when she was a kid where... Like, she's talking to the audience and all of that. The way the movie played it is it's like, that is all in her head. She was all, as a kid, she
oh,
was,
really?
She was, that was all make-believe to her, right?
So she was, like, pretending to be
she's right. So she's pretending to go on these adventures and, like, talk to you watching the show at home, right? But she really, truly is that good-natured and smart and adventurous. So then she's, you know, dealing with high school and high school people and all that stuff, and they get pulled into this. It's a ludicrous story. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's dumb. It's a dumb movie.
It'll be on HBO soon. I'll watch it.
It's it there were some laughs. There were some pretty. I mean, it's a kids movie. What do you expect?
Have you seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
No, I haven't.
I'm going to table that discussion until George gets here because I know he's seen it, and I've been really dying to get into.
Oh, I thought you'd seen it.
No, I've seen it.
Oh, okay,
I just don't want to go too in depth into it. I'm a Tarantino fan, and this is one of those movies when I was watching it, I didn't know if I liked it or not.
Okay.
When I left the theater and I was talking to my friend about it, we were talking about it more. That's when I realized, oh yeah, I did like that movie. But when it was happening, I wasn't sure about it.
Okay.
It's a very character-driven story about, you know what the story's about, so it has something.
I know it has to do with the Sharon Tate murder and all that.
That's part of it, not the full thing. Yeah,
I just know
that's a small part of it. When I think they handled that, it's different than what really happened. So it's a fictionalized version of Tarantino's fictionalized version of what happened with Sharon Tate.
Okay,
just keep that in mind. But most of the story is about. I can't think of their name right now. I can't think of their character.
The story was mainly going to follow Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah. Can't think of the character name, but which has a lot to do with it. It's about a washed up, 50s Western star who was in movies and now he's stuck doing like crappy roles on TV shows and stuff like that. And he lives next to Sharon Tate.
Okay.
That's the whole connection right there.
Okay. But, I was wondering how this whole thing was supposed to tie in with that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And there's some, the last 20 to 30 minutes of this movie are very fucking brutal and Tarantino-like. You're just like, yes.
Okay.
And there's fucking Nazis in the movie.
Is it really long?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And Tarantino's able to, with using the character of Leonardo DiCaprio being a movie actor, they're able to flash back to scenes from movies that he's been in.
Okay.
Which gives Tarantino the option to create other
little mini movies
in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, he loves doing that.
Yeah.
And what I love about, I didn't really realize this until watching this movie. He loves to take characters. He's so character driven. He likes to take characters into directions that don't really affect the plot of the movie at all. Mm-hmm. It doesn't fucking matter if it's in the movie or not, but it's there and it makes the movie better, but it doesn't affect the actual plot.
That's one of his strengths.
Yeah.
That's
I think it really is.
Ability to do that.
And I didn't realize that until this movie that what's what I like about him so much is he's able to do that.
Yeah. That's always been one of his strong suits. That's why the nonsensical dialogue scenes are always so compelling. He has that ability to make these characters talk about bullshit that doesn't matter, but tells you about who they are.
It's mundane, everyday bullshit.
Yeah.
But it makes everything better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely one of his strengths as a storyteller, for sure.
And Brad Pitt was
I'm not a Tarantino fanboy.
I don't know if I'm a fanboy, but I'm a fan.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think there's a little bit of a difference, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Brad Pitt was great in this movie. He was damn perfect in this movie. He was just born to play this role.
Okay.
Of a washed up.
He seemed very at home in the trailers.
So yeah.
He seemed very at ease with.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And there's rumors already that they're going to bring, when this comes to Netflix, is going to be a miniseries. So there's going to be a lot more than what's in the theater now.
Okay.
Like they did with The Hateful Eight. So if you watch The Hateful Eight now on Netflix, it's a four-part miniseries. So if you haven't seen it, that version of it. They've added a bunch of extra footage to it.
Because I've watched it on Netflix, but it was just the movie.
It's recent. They've done this, yeah.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. All right, so you ready to get into our topic?
Sure.
What, of course, we're going to be talking about is our love of the Disney parks, our favorites, our least favorites, all that good stuff. Let's take a quick little break so we can prepare for this, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. Welcome back to the show, my friends. It's time to really dive in and get geeky here. Let's do that. I've talked earlier about some of the shows I've been listening to, some of the podcasts, like Diz Unplugged. They do their top five and all this kind of stuff. And I've been listening to those and, you know, agreeing, disagreeing with some of their picks, but that's fine.
I'm curious to hear some of those.
I have a huge list. I don't know if I can been able to quantify any kind of order yet, but let's start. There's definitely going to be a couple of honorable mentions here.
Okay.
But let's start with our number 10. I'm going to let you go first. Of course,
I didn't do it at all like that. I have it just kind of like arranged by park and like what are some of my favorites at those parks. So I don't have anything resembling a top 10 list.
Okay, so you have a park. So if you jump coming in the park and you have it to the right going left, do you have clockwise or counterclockwise?
I tend to go clockwise. Especially at Magic Kingdom, I veer Adventureland, not Tomorrowland.
Hmm. Okay.
Because most people go the other way.
That's true. By the time you get to Tomorrowland, less people.
Yep.
All right, so do you want to handle it that way? Do you want to go by park?
I don't care. That's fine. I mean, that's how I have it laid out for me.
So. All right. We could do it that way. Let's start with Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
What's your favorite attraction or your... How many attractions in each park did you pick?
I was just kind of like writing stuff down while I was working today as I thought of it.
Yeah.
So I don't have like proper lists or anything. But
let's get the elephant out of the room.
I can't go. I know. Let's just get it out of the way. I cannot go to Magic Kingdom and not go on the Haunted Mansion.
That's right. Multiple times. If I had to pick a number one attraction, that's a classic Disney attraction. Maybe not my favorite. Thrill ride type of attraction at the parks, but my favorite classic Disney attraction is, which is an original IP, mind you, is the Haunted Mansion.
Followed closely by Pirates of the Caribbean.
Very closely.
Yes.
I gotta say though, I'm very much in a Disneyland mood right now.
Mm-hmm.
Pirates of the Caribbean in Disneyland is better. Yeah. Very so much
it's on
superior.
My Disneyland list as well.
Okay, so great.
Yeah, no.
It's not like that. I hate the one in Florida. I'm going to definitely do it, but the one in Disneyland was created because they had space restrictions or they had to go under the beam. That's why you go down twice, and you actually have to take.
Up a waterfall.
You come up a
that famous Walt Disney clip where he talks about that. You know that one?
Yeah.
From the Disneyland TV show.
Yep.
When he talks about, well, if you go back in time by going down a waterfall.
You have to go back up.
You go back up a waterfall.
And now you get to see Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely Pirates of the Caribbean in Disneyland is my favorite of all of them. But let's preface this really quick. We've only done the domestic parks.
Yes.
I've never been... To Paris. I haven't been to Tokyo, Shanghai, any of the other parks. So
brief aside, I kind of have renewed interest in going back to Disneyland Paris.
Going. Okay, yeah, me too.
Not like I've been before, but I mean my interest is renewed. That's my going back.
Sure.
Because they've refurbished Phantom Manor.
Yes, they have.
They are
Vincent Price.
They're using the Vincent Price audio. Yes.
I swear I was watching a 50th anniversary ride through from last week at the Haunted Mansion, and they used Vincent Price.
Did they?
It feels like it. Yeah. Phantom Manor looks fucking amazing. That's probably going to be
really cool now.
I ever get to there. So one of the podcasts I listen to we're friends with, we've had on this show before, is Paul Berry from Window to the Magic.
Mm-hmm.
When we were in Disneyland last month, a couple months ago, we went out to dinner with him at the chicken restaurant at Knott's. And he told us all about his trip to Europe. He just got back from like a couple weeks before. And he was telling me all about the Phantom Manor. And I was so fucking jealous. I was like, Jesus, that's worth a trip right there, truthfully. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what else is in Disneyland Paris. Like, Phantom Manor is the only thing I know of off the top of my head. Do they have a Tower of Terror there as well?
Maybe in the... They have a Walt Disney Studios as the second park, but it's really small.
Okay.
Which I hear is not great.
Okay.
But I don't really know if there is a Tower of Terror there.
Okay.
I know there's one in Tokyo Disney Sea,
yes,
which is a totally different storyline too.
Yeah. So back to Magic Kingdom. So, I mean, those are obviously the, like, of course we're going to talk about those two. I feel like other ones that we can just go ahead and knock out, Space Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain, the mountains, like, those are the mountains that make my list. Splash Mountain doesn't make my list. The Seven Dwarfs Mine Train doesn't make my list.
No, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train does not make my list either. I truthfully enjoy Big Thunder Mountain Railroad Disneyland.
It is, again, it is better at Disneyland.
And I like Hyperspace Mountain at Disneyland. I like Never Space Mountain. I like Space Mountain better at Disneyland just because it's a better ride experience. It's smoother. You're sitting next to each other. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, it's not to say Disneyland doesn't have those attractions, because the Matterhorn bobsleds, you are in front of each other,
mm-hmm,
and that just, it kills your back. It's a chiropractor's dream to have for you to go on that ride.
So, important, I guess, to say here, I haven't been to Disneyland in 25 years.
Yeah.
So this is all based on decades memories.
Yeah.
Memories. But I, even so, I do remember Big Thunder Mountain being better at Disneyland.
It is.
But still, if we're talking about Magic Kingdom, I'm probably going on Big Thunder Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely.
Hold on to your hats and glasses.
The wildest ride in the wilderness. I'm definitely going on Space Mountain, though. Now, Space Mountain in Disneyland was my first roller coaster.
Oh, really?
I believe so. I think that was the first roller coaster I ever went on, was Space Mountain at Disneyland. So Space Mountain as an overall entity has that for me. I also love the theming of it. I love the Star Tunnel music. I love everything Space Mountain. My older daughter, it's her favorite Disney ride. It's her favorite. Like, we were surprised because she's the quiet, reserved one. She's the one that wants to go on all the big rides. She wants roller coasters. She wants to go fast, all this stuff. So she's done a lot of that stuff over the last couple of years. We've gotten to take her to some different places. But still, her favorite roller coaster is Space Mountain. And, like, she's totally aware.
That's my very first roller coaster, too.
Yeah, she's aware of its, that on a technical level, it's, like, nowhere near some of the other stuff that she does. But it's her favorite. It's the one that she really likes.
I feel
that. Because, like, it was my first roller coaster. I love the theming of it. I always enjoy going on it.
If Space Mountain was not inside, wasn't in the dark, wasn't seem to being in space, it would not be a very good roller coaster.
Probably.
At all.
Yeah.
Because half
tops out at 27 miles per hour.
Well, yeah, I mean, most of the fun part about it is not knowing where you're going and where the track is going to hit. Where you're, it's
occasionally running by the other train going the opposite
direction
from you and all that.
Yeah, it's just the experience. You've ever seen pictures of, like, Space Mountain with the lights on? You're just like, oh,
I have seen Space Mountain with the lights on.
Yeah,
it's weird.
All right, let's before we move out away from Tomorrowland. One of my favorite attractions.
I bet this is on my list, too.
I bet you it is. It's the People Mover.
Yes, it is. Yes. Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover.
That is correct. It is one of my favorite attractions out of any Disney theme park. I wish it didn't get messed up so badly as it did in Disneyland. Yeah. And there's no way to bring it back, unfortunately.
Yeah, they fucked it up.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, they can't fix it.
No.
Didn't they try to make it into, like, a racing?
They did.
Or something? And, like, they couldn't get it to speed because there was no bank.
That's correct. There was, yeah. So I can't remember the name of the attraction.
It was a failed attraction.
It only was open for less than a year.
Yeah.
I've seen video of it, but yeah, when I heard, it uses the same track layout as the People Mover did. Mm-hmm. But there was no bank. So when it got to a curve, it would have to slow down.
Yeah.
Imagine being on a roller coaster that had to slow down every 15 curve. Seconds.
Yeah.
Not very fun.
Right.
Yeah. Didn't last very long.
But yes, the People Mover is definitely on my list. And it was funny. I was at dinner. I was talking to my wife about this because what we were going to be talking about tonight. And she was like, well, you got to talk about the People Mover.
Yes.
and she was like, I know that people hate it, but you got to talk about the People
Mover. One of my bucket lists in life was, ever since I started my podcast, was to be able to podcast with one of my co-hosts was from the People Mover. And I got to do that with George when we were there a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can check something off my bucket list. That was amazing. I just love that ride. I've loved it since I was a kid. I've been on it every single time, multiple times, every time I go to the parks. Mm-hmm. I have video footage of the 25th anniversary of me and my best friend Scott at the time. We drove down there. It was right after my mom passed away. We're like, you know what? Let's go to Disney World. Let's just go, you know? Mm-hmm. Got in the car. We drove. It was during the whole time of the cake castle bullshit.
Yeah.
The debacle. Mm-hmm. And I have video footage. This is so vivid in my memories of just us on the People Mover. When we got to the castle, we're just like, oh, look, it's the castle and cake. Okay. All right. We just went on.
I love kind of the history of the People Mover, how it was invented, what it was invented for.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. I just like kind of getting to be a part of that history that,
all created by one man, Bob Gurr.
Bob Gurr.
Who has a new book out, actually, that I'm, it's on Amazon. It's only like $20, but I'm this close to picking up because I definitely want to read that.
I like, you know, the conceptual history of what this because it's like you're riding a concept vehicle, mm-hmm. is what it is.
It was designed to be sort of a mass transit.
A mass transit system.
Yeah.
Not as it exists now, but the technology was invented to be a mass transit system over a small area. Specifically.
Isn't the same technology as like some roller coasters used to like speed up cars, like linear motion,
magnets. Yeah. It's the cars themselves don't have any motor or anything.
Right.
It's all electromagnets in the track that drive it forward. I just like that for like the tech history of it, the Disney history of it, its connection to Epcot and the city of Epcot.
Yeah.
Plan, all that kind of stuff. I like that, but I also just like being in it and like, riding around above Tomorrowland,
going into
Space Mountain.
It's relaxing.
And at Magic Kingdom, the one at Magic Kingdom specifically, the part where you drive by it's the only way you can see it. The model, the Epcot model city.
That's true.
Is there. And I think that's cool too.
And there's that other part where you go through the other attraction and you see all the people buying shit. Oh yeah, the shop. Yeah.
It's actually kind of fun, though, like that it goes through and you can looking down into.
That's what I love about the Disneyland Railroad, because there's portions of it that they take you. Like you see part of Splash Mountain when you go through it. There's the dinosaurs and everything. And there's special parts from the 64 World's Fair that they've put into the Disneyland Railroad. You can only see when you travel on the railroad.
Nice.
Which is a lot of fun. What else in Magic Kingdom?
As far as like my have to do's for Magic Kingdom, I don't know that there's really much else that is like have to do. Like,
nothing. There's tropical.
I was thinking about if Jungle Cruise needed to be.
No. I'm not talking about Jungle Cruise. Okay. Jungle Cruise, I love something that's more Enchanted.
No, that's not in my. I go to the Enchanted Tiki Room.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. Again, a lot of it for its history and a lot of what it meant for the history of animatronics and all that kind of stuff. It's a fun little show on its own, but it's not one of my favorites.
I truthfully love the Disneyland version because it's very, very, very close to the original. Mm-hmm. You know, the one in Florida, they've changed it the one time. Do you ever see Under New Management?
I never saw the Under New Management.
You're lucky.
Version of it. I've heard it was terrible. It was like Iago.
Yes.
And, who else?
Zazu.
What was Zazu?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never saw that version of it. But yeah, that's not on my have to do. I was thinking about if Jungle Cruise was. I don't know that it is. It seems like almost every time I go, Jungle Cruise is under refurbishment.
Oh, really?
It was actually open the last time I went. So that was actually the first time I was able to do it in a really long time.
Speaking of classic history, what about, before we progress to further other parks, what about the Carousel of Progress?
Again, it's one that I will probably do every time I'm there, but I don't know that it's like a favorite of mine.
I think it's... You know, I think it's time for an upgrade. Not an upgrade, but a redo at the last scene.
Again, because what's there now is a redo.
Yeah, it is.
And it's seriously dated
at
this point.
It's like 80s futuristic, you know, which a lot of Tomorrowland is.
Yeah. Which always been the problem with Tomorrowland, that tomorrow catches up.
that happened.
But yeah, I thought about all those things, and I thought about Fantasyland as well. There's not it, in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
There's nothing really in Fantasyland that I'm like, have to do this. There's stuff that I will do, stuff that I enjoy doing.
Exactly right.
I enjoy Fantasyland and Magic Kingdom, but none of it is like, I have to do this. So
I'm trying to think. Yeah, the Fantasyland in Disneyland is
far superior.
Far, far superior.
Yeah.
The Alice in Wonderland ride, they still have Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, mm-hmm. which...
Dude, when you were posting pictures from the ride queue.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, I'm going back in time in my mind.
Yeah.
It was weird because you posted those photos and I'm like, I haven't really thought about this place mm-hmm. in a really long time. But then I was like, man, I was there again. I'm
yeah.
like, oh man, I remember. Yeah.
I think you need a next Disney trip. Plan to go to Disneyland for like 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
I can help you with like finding hotels that are close by, that are walking distance, that you'd be amazing for your family.
Yeah.
The hotel we stayed at a few months ago, it wasn't that expensive compared to like some of the other ones. It was less than a mile away to actually walk. But we had a fucking huge room. We had like an 800 square foot room, really, a mm-hmm. Hotel room. There was free breakfast buffet every morning.
Nice.
You didn't have to pay for parking. There was transportation if you wanted it, but you didn't really need it. We Ubered a few times. It was like $4 to get from our hotel to the like downtown Disney. It's pretty great.
Cool.
I think your family would love it.
We do. We need to get back out that way.
And if you haven't been to California Adventure.
Never, it didn't exist.
The last yeah, time so there. You really need to get out there. We'll talk about that, but
so I mean that's kind of it for Magic Kingdom for me.
Yeah, I can agree.
Who did you have disagreements with in Magic Kingdom?
You know, one of the guys is like Country Bear Jamboree.
Nah.
You know,
also I don't think I've seen Country Bear Jamboree as an adult.
Been a while since I've seen it, truthfully. They mentioned Jungle Cruise, which I love Jungle Cruise. Before we move away, have you guys eaten at the Jungle Skipper Canteen?
No, I don't think it was open the last time.
Okay.
Or it was just open.
I don't know if your kids would really like it, but they do have regular, you know, kid style menu, mm-hmm. like mac and cheese or whatever. I don't know what your kids are into, but
very little.
I do. Okay. Chicken nuggets and mac and cheese.
The little one in particular, super picky. Actually, the older one, she's gotten a lot more adventurous. So
take a chance at Jungle Skipper Canteen. I need another drink. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised. The food is really good. It's a great environment. They act like they're in the Jungle Cruise, so they're telling you.
Oh, they have all the bad jokes and everything.
They do.
That's awesome.
And if you've ever been to the Adventurers Club.
I didn't put Jungle Cruise on my list, but I love the bad jokes in Jungle Cruise.
Yes.
I really do.
I prefer the Jungle Cruise in Magic Kingdom in Florida better than Disneyland.
Ah, so score one. Magic
Different,
Kingdom.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a little bit longer. You go. There's a section where you go actually into like the
The temple.
The temple, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So they don't have that.
You know what? I was trying to remember if that was in the one at Disneyland.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Let's move to Epcot.
Let's do.
One of my favorite parks in the world, which is being totally changed right now.
They've taken out all of the Leave a Memory.
Yes, they have.
It's all gone now.
Yep.
I tell you what, though, the concept art for what's going in there looks pretty.
Yes.
So that's... I hope they... Epcot...
Epcot has changed. It's different than when I was a kid.
It needs to. Some of the changes have not been the right ones.
No, agreed.
It needs to be updated. I hope that this... Because they're, if you're not aware, Disney's now putting a lot of money into refurbishing Epcot. And I hope they're doing it in the right direction.
Yes.
Which...
They're getting rid of Club Cool.
What is
No More Beverly.
Oh, no. No More Beverly.
It closes
Beverly,
down like...
By the way, is by far not the worst thing on tap there.
No, it's not.
By far.
The melon one is.
Oh, God.
But closes down like September 8th, dude. I don't know when you're going.
Well, we're not...
You're not going to Epcot. Anymore. Oh, yeah.
We're doing a bunch of other stuff. But anyway,
Where are you staying at Universal, by the way?
We're not 100% on that yet, but we're probably staying on site. We're still
there. There's a couple of value resorts now, which make it worthwhile. Yeah, yeah.
One of the ones
the Endless Summer is the newest one, which is sort of across on I-4, but it's like really cheap.
Okay,
you can get a room for like under $100 maybe. Yeah, sometimes
that's some of the ones we're looking at.
Yeah,
are in there. I was saying that I'm hoping that the changes coming to Epcot are the right kinds of changes. What does that mean? The right kinds of changes to me are things that are in the spirit of what Epcot was originally conceived as. I get that Epcot has evolved. That's okay. It's going to. But I want the spirit of Epcot
right.
to stay the same, which is Future World is about the innovative spirit of mankind. What exciting new things are technologists and artists and who is looking forward? And
the Guardians of the Galaxy are.
Apparently they are.
I mean, I'm don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to a Guardians attraction, but I don't know if that's the right place
for
it.
It's not on theme, but yeah. I can let that stuff go.
Yeah.
As long as we're keeping this spirit of ingenuity and that whole creative human endeavor sort of
right.
attitude of Future World. I think that's important. And I think, and right now, just in the world that we're in, we need that shit.
For sure.
We need to see who's actually looking forward.
We need some optimism.
You need some optimism.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a great way to do it. I'm a very kind of humanist kind of guy, and I love those humanities kinds of stuff. And I think that's important. I think that needs to stay.
What was your first visit to Epcot? How old were you?
I was like 23.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
What year was that? Like last year?
2004.
Oh, my God.
I guess.
All right. Yeah. So some of my very first memories of being a kid are at Epcot. Mm-hmm. I fucking love Epcot so much. Everything about it, everything, it just reminds me of my childhood. I have pictures when I was a little kid of my uncle.
You and Figment.
Yeah, with Figment and the actual real Dreamfinder.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, because I was probably like, I think the first year we went was like 83.
Oh, wow.
So we were there right after it opened, yeah.
So Epcot and I are the same age.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. That's fun.
I think my first visit, I was maybe 7 or 8, probably 8.
Okay.
So I had enough. I have all these memories of being there and I loved it. I loved Horizons.
I wish I had been able to experience Horizons.
The original Journey into Imagination with the rainbow, tunnel. I have a picture that I found recently. It's my mom, my uncle, my grandfather, my grandmother, who were separated for many years at that time, and me as a young kid in that tunnel. Great picture. And now it's just like you go up there. It's like it's a pass holder lounge or something like that up there.
I know they have one of those in the what used to be the like health pavilion.
No,
there's a lounge.
Not anymore. I think they're converting that into something. I think it's inside of Journey into Imagination, and there's like a card holder pass somewhere or room above American Adventure.
That's right, yeah.
Like American Express or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, just the classic Epcot, man. Horizons and World of Motion, and I like Test Track. I don't like the new Test Track as much.
I prefer the new Test Track.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I like the older one.
I,
it made more sense.
Did it?
Yeah. Well, not. It didn't really make sense in the beginning, but ever. But I don't know. If they were going to take it to this Tron futuristic looking thing, I don't think they took it far enough.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But I still like it better than the previous iteration. They could have pushed it further.
We can just agree to disagree there.
That's fine. But Test Track's not on my list anyway, so who cares?
My favorite version of a Test Track attraction is Radiator Springs Racers in California Adventure.
I was wondering.
Much better than Test Track. The voice from the other room just chimed in and said they ruined it in Florida when they changed it.
Oh. Hmm. Well, it keeps my kids entertained in line now because you get to design your car.
That's true.
So that keeps them happy. So I like that.
All right. I'll give you that. That's always worthwhile.
But Test Track is not on my list anyway.
Let's talk about what's on our list in Epcot.
I'm going to start with the monorail. And I'm associating that with Epcot specifically.
Okay.
Because you actually, when you're coming into the park via the monorail, you actually go into the park via the monorail.
Technically, no. Because it's like right outside the gate.
No. You go.
Oh, well, you travel loop, through it.
You
yeah.
Loop around Spaceship
that is true.
Earth on your way. So I'm counting it as an Epcot.
All right.
Ride.
All right. I'll give you that. You do the same thing at Disneyland. You actually travel through the park a lot, but the actual exit is in Tomorrowland, mm-hmm. which is cool.
Yeah. So
I'll give you that.
I love the monorail. I always look forward to riding it. It's dumb. I know. But
no, it's not dumb. I'm on board with that.
I know there's a whole monorail subculture.
No pun intended. I'm on board with that.
On board. So I love the monorail. I love that trip around Spaceship Earth and getting to look at all the future world stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's fun. Spaceship Earth.
I love Spaceship Earth.
Not just because it's dark and air conditioned when it's hot outside. I legit love Spaceship Earth for what it is.
I've been on every iteration of Spaceship Earth, starting with Walter Cronkite and then Jeremy Irons, which is my favorite, and then now with a Dame Judi Dench. Not my favorite, but that needs to go through a rehab too.
I think it's getting one in this big overall.
Okay, because the coming back down is not my favorite. Mm. I liked it better when it was just like fiber optic light and shit that you looked at and, oh, hey, we're going back down. But the touchscreen, hey, how's your future going to look?
I've done the touchscreen thing. I know what all the things do. I mostly just lay back and watch the fiberglass while I'm going down. I think that's fun. I would wear that.
Yes.
I'd wear that on a shirt.
That is a shirt.
Please
stand clear of the doors. Por favor, mantengas alejado de las puertas.
I think that
only hardcore Disney geeks are going to get that.
I think that Spaceship Earth is a really nice thesis statement for the park as a whole,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I mean when I say these are the kinds of changes that
it's original Epcot. It's OOG or OE, if you want to say it that way. It's what I loved about the classic Epcot, and it's changed a little bit, but it's still there. It's still like World of Motion and Horizons and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it.
So what do you have that I haven't mentioned so far?
I had Spaceship Earth. This is going to be weird. Go with me here. I have Maelstrom. I was thinking about it.
Remember?
Yeah.
Last time I was there, I sent you a photo
of
a couple I came across wearing old school Maelstrom t-shirts. And I can't remember what they said, but it was like never forget or something like that. I liked Maelstrom.
I did too.
I would have much preferred had they updated it and done what they did to it. Now,
We've been on it. Okay, so we've only been on it once, and that was the last trip. The heads of the animatronics, they're projected.
Yeah. That's like
they're weird.
That's how they are in Seven Dwarfs Mine Train as well.
And it's the same boat set up, but there's like a couple with a kid in front of us, and they were singing the whole time, and it just ruined it. Like, yeah, we know you know the words to Let It Go. Fucking Let It Go, all right? Stop singing it. I mean, it's not a bad attraction, but it's not what I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I still like Journey into Imagination. Mm-hmm. I like that they brought Figment back.
Yeah.
Is it as good as the old attraction? Hell no. But I get to see Figment.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. and there's never a line for it. No. Ever. I just – there's – you know, I like Soren. I like the older version before they changed it.
On whether or not to put Soren on my list, and I finally –
it's not my favorite, but
– I put it on there, but it was kind of a just barely sort of a thing.
Yeah. I just love the experience of being at Epcot. I actually appreciate now way more than I did when I was a kid World Showcase.
It's my favorite part of Epcot at this point.
Well, that's not saying too much because Future World's in a disarray right now.
Future World needs help.
They're working on it.
I know, and I hope they do it right. But yeah, I love the World Showcase. What are your favorite pavilions in the World Showcase?
Recently,
top three.
I
have more than that, but let's just say top three.
UK.
Okay. That's a good one.
Japan.
Yep.
Recently, Morocco. I spent a little time in Morocco last time.
Hit my top three.
I like Mexico a lot.
And that's my honorable
list. Yeah.
Yep.
I love the Three Caballeros. The original El Rio del Tiempo. I fucking love that. And I don't hate
Three Caballeros is going away. Did you know that?
It's a rumor. Yeah,
they're turning it into a cocoa ride.
Yeah, I can see that fitting much better. I think it fits a lot better. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they'll keep Three Caballeros in there somewhere.
They
but
should. Maybe keep some of the like the wall murals like that. Like,
yeah,
faded and stuff. Like maybe leave.
Yeah, and maybe at the end where they had the animatronics or they're dancing, but that ride just like Pirates in Disneyland, where you get on the boat and you ride through the restaurant, which is sort of cool. It's just like a blue bayou over at Disneyland.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think we had such a blast at Epcot last time we were there, spending more time at World Showcase, the food and wine. I know a lot of people complain about food and wine, but we had a fucking blast.
Who complains about food and wine?
Jaded people who have to cover it every year for their show.
Okay.
You know, I would love to go back just to go to food and wine and see some of the stuff we haven't done yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just go for like a long week, weekend or something like that. But
yeah, you mentioned the UK pavilion. I just like how it's laid out.
Yeah.
I think it's very charming. It's also one of the few places on the World Showcase that I've actually been to. So,
but I've never been there.
Yeah, I've been there.
It's the only place where you can buy a Beatles t-shirt or Doctor Who t-shirt.
Yeah.
In Disney.
I like how it's laid out. I just kind of enjoy being in that one. And
hold on 1 second.
I'm holding.
Keep on talking real quick.
I'll keep talking.
I don't know why you're keeping going.
Okay. Well, that's better.
Yeah. It's like flatted out for a second. Okay. 5, 4, 3.
So yeah, I just like how the UK pavilion is laid out. I think it's quaint.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I like the Beatles cover band, the 60s music, stuff like that.
I like the shops. I like the pub, all that stuff.
And chips are awesome.
Probably my favorite pavilion is a toss-up between Morocco and Japan. I think both of those pavilions are just masterfully laid out.
I love the shop in Japan.
I do, too. The last time we were... I know it changes, but the last time we were there... It was like Pokemon everything.
Oh, I bet.
And my oldest daughter is Pokemon everything.
Oh, I know.
And so we walked in there and she about lost her mind. And we basically did all of her Christmas shopping at that store. She was gone. We made a mom made a special trip back.
Right.
And we're like, all right, let's do this. And we like bought half the store. But no, I think the Japan Pavilion is just beautiful. The gardens and the path that goes up to the restaurant.
And there's always there's like things you don't know about in that area. There's, I remember one time we were there was a whole display about Tokyo Disneyland.
Oh, huh. Yeah. We're like, was it in that kind of like that back room, like you go across the bridge there into the castle,
and
quote unquote?
Like concept art and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Okay.
When we were there last, that whole, I don't know, exhibit or whatever was about kawaii culture in Japan, about like
cuteness
and it was it was interesting though. Okay. Like it was a good exhibit. I enjoyed it.
So let's get on the boat.
Okay.
And go over to Disney MGM Studios. Sorry.
Not for some time now, sir.
Hollywood Studios. Not much to say here. A couple of my favorite attractions in Florida are in this park.
Yeah, me too.
What's your first one?
It's not the first one I wrote down, but it's probably my favorite was the Tower of Terror.
The Twilight Zone Tower.
May it never change.
Okay, so I love Tower of Terror. The version of Tower of Terror that he had in California Adventure was a sad
subpar.
When they converted it to Guardians of the Galaxy,
it was an improvement.
A complete improvement.
That's fine. I'm happy for them. They can have that. Leave
it makes a lot more sense.
Leave.
No, agree.
This one alone. Leave it alone.
Yes.
I'm a big Twilight Zone fan. I'm a Rod Serling fan. I think Rod Serling was a brilliant, good man. I think he was doing important work at the time he was working.
Yep.
And I think that he's important for our social history. I think he's important for television history. Twilight Zone is important for television history
and
storytelling. So many actors were on that show, you know, who either already were famous or went on to become famous. Like it's just tied in with
TV. One of the best made for
TV
movies was based on this attraction. Tower of Terror. Steve Gutenberg and Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, did not see that.
Amazingly bad.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah,
it sounds terrible. But love Twilight Zone, and this is just a fun ride.
It's
just as it is.
When they started randomizing the drops, that just took it to the next level. Mm-hmm. It was always great.
Yeah.
I think I've told the story before. The last time I took my uncle to Disney, you know, he passed away now, but this is maybe 8 years ago ish. And he had to get around on an ECV a lot. And we had a rental car so he can go, because he had to do dialysis. So he would, when we were there, he would take off and go do his dialysis. I'd stick in the parks and we would just meet up after he was done. We'd go to dinner, we'd go back to the park, or do whatever we do. One day I was waiting to meet him and I'm like texting him, like, dude, where are you? We're meeting at Hollywood Studios. I'm like, where are you? Where, what time are you supposed to be back here? He's like, oh, I've sort of been back for like an hour. I've rode Tower of Terror 5 times.
Nice.
I was like, oh, should you be riding that? He's like, I don't care. I love this ride. I'm like, all right.
Good
fair
for him.
Enough.
Good for him. I have a story, but on the other end of the age bracket there. The first time I took my kids to Disney World, told you we found out that trip. My oldest daughter is a speed demon. She wants to do all the stuff, right? Well, so we're now on our fourth time through Tower of Terror in a row, and it's just me and her. Everyone else has kind of bailed out and gone off to
Notch
do other stuff. Yeah, but I'm there with her. We're on our fourth trip through. She is six at the time, I think, and we're in the lobby, but in the part where you're standing behind the line to go into the study or the library, whatever the prep room is. And it's just the two of us at this point. Another couple, young couple in their 20s, probably, kind of girl, walk up, stand next to us, and they're clearly bickering about something. But like, I can't hear what they're arguing about. Then I see, I'm kind of watching out of the corner of my eye, morbidly curious, what are these people arguing about at Disney World? She elbows the guy and then points at my daughter. And he turns and looks at her. And now I know what's happening. He's freaked out. He doesn't want to go on the ride. His girlfriend's trying to convince him to do so.
She's doing it.
That's right. She elbows him and points to my daughter and is like, look, that little girl can do it and you can't do that, right? That's, now I have this picture. Okay, this is most likely what's happening. So he turns and looks at my daughter and he looks at me and he goes, she's going to do this? Said, this is her fourth time today. He still didn't go.
Really?
He walked out.
Come on, dude, nut up.
Right.
All right.
He walked out.
So, are you a fan of Rock and Roller Coaster?
I am. I like it, but it's not on my list.
Yeah. I'm sort of the same. And I'm wondering how much longer the Aerosmith name is going to be attached, because it's not in the logo anymore.
Yeah.
But it's in the attraction still.
Yeah. And they... I saw the weird hand edit last time I was there, too. Remember the weird hand edit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know the sound engineer in that video is Ken Marino?
I don't know if I know who that is.
He's a comedian, actor. If you look him up, you'll definitely know who he is. You'll be like, oh, that dude. He was in Party Down and a bunch of different things. There's a couple other favorite attractions in this park.
Yeah, I recognize him.
Star Tours.
Star Tours is on my list.
Especially The Adventure Continues.
Yeah.
I was there for opening weekend of that attraction. When I took my uncle on that trip. I got to the park like at 4 in the morning so I can buy merchandise, and I got in line, and I was there for the grand opening, and we got marched to the attraction with a bunch of stormtroopers and shit.
Nice.
And people, it was amazing. It was definitely an amazing experience. And I love that attraction no matter what park I'm in.
Yeah.
Same thing at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Same
thing. It's on my Disneyland list as well.
It's just so fun now. It's one of my favorite attractions out of all the parks.
Yeah.
It's probably in my top five, truthfully. But we also have to preface, we're talking about Hollywood Studios. I haven't done any of the Toy Story Land.
I haven't either. It was still being worked on last time I was there.
And, of course, we haven't done Galaxy's Edge. So I'm sure some of our choices are going to change once we ride some of these new attractions.
Probably,
you know?
So.
I haven't done Pandora yet either, so.
I've walked through it, but I haven't
ridden
anything.
Even done that.
Yeah.
They were still building it last time I was there.
Also on my Hollywood Studios list.
Is it an attraction or is it a...
It's a show.
Ride? Is it Muppet Vision?
It's not.
Oh, mine is.
Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular.
Okay, that too.
I love it. I'm a big Indiana Jones fan, and it's the same show that it's always been, and I don't care. I don't care. I just want to watch the show.
So I have a little story about that. There's this guy. His name is Danny. When I was in film school, this has been about 6-7 years ago, I had to do a project, right? And I did an open casting call. And one of the guys that came to my casting call for the movie, for the film that I was doing, short little film, this guy named Danny Gallahue, right? And gave me his resume, his acting resume. And on there, it said, Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular.
Oh.
I was like, wait, what, dude? He's like, yeah, I portrayed him for about 2 years at the park. I was like, are you kidding me?
Cool.
I was like, you're hired. Come on. Why are you doing my short little film, dude? Come on. It was cool.
Nice. Yeah.
And we did that a couple of years. You know, it's something I don't do every time I go to the park, but we did it the last time with George, and he had never done it before.
Right. Yeah. And he's a huge Indiana Jones fan.
Yeah. And it was just.
Did he love it?
He loved it.
Yeah.
It was just so cool to watch his experience of seeing it for the first time.
Yeah.
That's always cool about going to somebody to the parks brand new.
Yeah.
You get to see it through their eyes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and this thing is on the rumored chopping block like all the time. And so
it's been rumored for a long time.
For a long time.
Yeah.
And so every time I go, I try to see it just in case it's the last time. I hope it sticks around. I think it's a fun show. You mentioned
Muppet Vision.
I've only done it once, I think.
What?
I think I've only done it
really?
One time, maybe twice.
One of my favorite 4D attractions in any of the parks. I love the Muppets.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. I like the Muppets. I'm a Jim Henson fan in general.
Yeah.
He was brilliant.
It's just a fun attraction. I can probably repeat the words, and it's just a lot of fun. I can't think of anything else in that park.
Yeah, I'm out of Hollywood Studios stuff.
There's other cool things.
There's stuff I like to do there. Maybe, I mean, you know what?
The sci-fi dine-in?
I've never made it into the sci-fi diner.
Okay.
It's on my list. That's one I really want to do.
We did that for my birthday last year. We actually went there for lunch.
It's one I really want to do. I've just never had the chance. It's my
kind
of thing. No.
It's okay.
I kind of want to just go in for a dessert sometime.
The shakes are amazing.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
I'd like to just do that.
We shared Kim and I shared a burger and we had a shake. It was perfect. It was way more than enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I'm going to include, I'm writing it right now on my list. One man's dream.
You don't
dream.
Have to self-edit.
I'm self-editing. Okay. I'm going to put one man's dream on there.
Okay.
I love that exhibit.
Yeah.
But I'm into that stuff. I know that most people walk right by it.
I hate when they take the film out at the end and put, hey, we're previewing Aladdin, so here's where we're going to put Aladdin. They did the same thing in Disneyland when we were there. They replaced the great moments with Mr. Lincoln with the Aladdin preview.
Weird.
I was like, can't you find a better place to put that?
Yeah.
Now get rid of one of your original attractions. All right, whatever. I haven't seen Mr. Lincoln in Great Moments in a long time. So
yeah.
I was looking forward to it, but nope.
Weird. So yeah, I'm going to add that one. There's probably other stuff that if it was still around would be on here. But anyway, moving on.
Let's go to Animal Kingdom.
Let's do.
Big one out of the gate.
Expedition Everest. Obviously.
I freaking love this.
It's a great roller coaster.
It's a great ride. It's a great roller coaster. It seemed amazingly well.
It is one of those. And these are, you know, a dime a dozen at Disney, but that is a ride queue that you like being in.
Totally.
It's fun.
I mean, it's great to get into like the single rider and wait 5 minutes, but the ride queue, oh, it's great.
Yeah, it's beautiful. There's a story there if you want to put it together.
Just like the band, All Hail the Yeti. have you ever, let me ask you this, have you seen the Yeti in A mode before?
Which means?
When it actually moves and not just strobe light going off on it?
I think so.
Okay.
I think I have, yeah. Pretty sure.
It hasn't worked in years, apparently.
Okay.
It's something to do with like the foundation problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, yeah, so that one, I mean, that one's Expedition Everest, obviously, on the list. What's an unusual one from Animal Kingdom?
Unusual? Well, I haven't done Pandora yet, so I can't say it's a Blue World after all. Is what they call the Navi River Adventure.
Okay.
I really like the Savannah, the Safari. The
drive-thru one?
Yeah.
Okay. That one's good. I like it.
I just like the environment there. I like Animal Kingdom.
So an odd one on my list, I imagine it's probably not on a lot of people's favorite things to do at Animal Kingdom list.
Okay.
The Maharaja Jungle Trek.
I've never done that.
It's fantastic.
There's
two walking trails.
It's where the apes are, right?
There's tigers.
Okay.
Trying to remember, because there's other places where there are apes and stuff around the park, and I'm not clear on it. There's some beautiful gardens in there that full of birds, and they're just around you. Like
I've just never been in there.
You have to do it.
Okay.
So there's two walking nature trails. There's an Africa themed one, and then an Asia themed one. They're both good, but the Asian one, the Maharaja Jungle Trek, is beautiful. It's just
okay.
The way they do it. Is it's you know, it's like a zoo where you're walking through and looking,
but it's not
animals,
the zoo,
but it's not because
remember that marketing
you're the way it's the whole thing is themed. It's like you're in South Asia,
yeah,
and you're walking through crumbling temples and you see like waypoints where pilgrims have come and left offerings at shrines and all this kind of, it's beautiful. I love it. I just love it. Like you said, you just like being there. This is a spot that I just like being there. Okay. It's on the Maharaj.
I definitely put on my to-do list next time I go.
It's near the Kali River Rapids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a good attraction.
Eh.
It's eh.
Eh.
If you're hot, I guess maybe.
I've only actually done it once. Not a big water ride fan to begin with. I did it once. I don't even remember why we did it. We had a good time. We were on a good boat. The people that we rode with, the people we just randomly got hooked up with, everybody was fun. So, hey, everyone's having a good time. Everyone's laughing.
There's one of those, the California Adventure, too.
Yeah.
That style. Maybe Dinosaur. I like Indiana Jones Adventure a hell of a lot better than Dinosaur.
I was having this discussion with my wife because we were talking about this topic.
You haven't done that yet, have you?
Indiana Jones? Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I was there when it opened.
Oh, okay.
Actually. And it was awesome.
It was like, what, 94?
I guess.
95?
Something like that.
96 maybe around that time?
But that's a great ride.
Oh, yeah.
That is a far better use of that ride technology than the Dinosaur ride. Yeah.
I can't think of much else at Animal Kingdom that I haven't.
So I'm going to say, like, the Dinosaur ride itself, I don't love, but I like the building that it's in.
Do
is
you
that
like,
weird? Like,
no.
Like,
because it's very science-y.
It
I
is.
Can see that. Yeah.
I like the setting. I like the concept behind the ride more than I like the ride.
Do you like the dinosaur area around it?
This was the next thing I was going to talk about. Yes, I fucking do. I love Dinoland USA.
Do you really?
Fuck the rest of you. That's right.
Do you like the attraction?
I do. Okay. Yeah. I
don't hate it either.
I think it's cute because it's kind of like tucked out of the way. It's supposed to be a roadside
attraction. Yeah.
And it feels like one. Is it kind of crap? Yeah, but it's supposed to be. I feel like it's on theme and I like it. So that's not on my list. But I like the Dinoland USA area. I know people hate it.
I don't hate it.
I know that there are people who absolutely despise Dinoland.
I don't.
I like it. I enjoy going over there. But I do have one other thing that we haven't mentioned from Animal Kingdom that is absolutely on my list. Festival of the Lion King is an amazing show.
I agree on that.
Phenomenal show.
Better than the new movie.
It is better than... I would rather watch Festival of the Lion King over the new movie. And I liked the new movie. I would rather watch Festival of the Lion King.
Because I remember they moved it because we saw it last time we were there in the new location because they moved it because that's where Pandora is now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
The acrobatics, the singing, everything.
Yeah, the
about
music's
it.
Great.
It's everything you like about the Lion King movie put into a digestible, fun show.
Yep.
That's pretty metal.
Yep. I guess that's metal.
It's metal. There's metal parts that come out, I guess. Yeah. So that's pretty much it. The last thing I wanted to, sort of honorable mention, I really like the Incredicoaster at California Adventure.
So I don't have any frame of reference for California Adventure.
It used to be California Screamin' until recently.
Okay.
Pixar Pier is now.
Yeah. Okay.
Paradise Pier is now Pixar Pier. Which I like it. It was cool. The only thing I don't like about the Incredicoaster, which is really cool because it's really themed well to the Incredibles.
Hmm.
But they took out Neil Patrick Harris's voice because they used to be the announcer when you're about to go.
Okay.
And they took his voice out when they did this Incredibles do-over. So
I'm kind of curious, like, because I haven't been and I'm not super familiar. That was the big, like, wooden roller coaster out there, right?
Wooden.
Is it faux wooden? Like, is it not?
No, it's maybe it's wood, but it's not. It's a steel track.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not really shaky. Real smooth.
Okay.
There's a nice loop in there, nice 360 loop. It's a long attraction. It's fun.
Okay. It just seems like a wooden roller coaster is a weird place to put the Incredibles to me. Just without a frame of reference,
Way they did it makes sense.
Okay.
Because that whole pier area is now Pixar based.
Mm-hmm.
So the way they've redone the attraction really does make sense because there's a couple of parts where there's like tunnels, and they've put seeming elements, narrative elements in all these little places. So it definitely makes sense now.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I love Disneyland. I love California Adventure, and I love Disney World. We need to make it out of the country.
Someday. So,
yes.
What would be, if all the logistics were taken care of, which overseas park would you want to go to first?
Easy. Tokyo DisneySea.
Okay. And why?
Because it looks fucking amazing.
I agree. I don't know a whole lot about it, but it does look good. I'm kind of trying to decide between that and Shanghai, because Shanghai also looks really good.
Shanghai looks really good, but there's not a lot of attractions there.
Okay.
If you think about it, I mean, the Pirates looks amazing. Everything about it looks amazing, but look at the amount of attractions there compared to, like, Tokyo, where you have two different parks. Mm-hmm. You have Tokyo Disneyland, and you have Tokyo DisneySea. Now, secondly, I want to go to Disneyland Paris, because I want to do Phantom Manor.
I just want to do Phantom Manor.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
And go to London, maybe. The real London. Mm-hmm. Take the train over, you're good to go. I don't know. Which one would you go to first?
Like I said, probably, I would probably go to Tokyo, really, first.
Yeah.
Shanghai is very shiny. It's pretty.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would probably go to Tokyo. Like, again, the Paris thing, I just want to do Phantom Manor. If we can do a quick layover for Phantom Manor on the way to Tokyo, I would be content with that.
So I was just watching a vlogger, and he went to Tokyo. I watched all of his vlogs from Tokyo and Tokyo DisneySea. It's a couple things. It's just as hot there and humid as it is in Florida.
Okay.
And it's way more fucking crowded than you expect. It was super...
It's in Tokyo.
Yes.
So, might not be more crowded than I'd expect. Tokyo's crowded.
Yes, that's very true. It's a lot... They did a new version of Soaring. They call it Soaring over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No.
Which is weird.
Is that a language thing, maybe?
I don't know.
That is the cutoff G, is that confusing?
Maybe. I never thought about that. It's weird. The ending is supposed to be different.
Okay.
I don't like the new Soaring version they have. It's too digital.
Okay.
But the whole time he was there, he couldn't ride it because it was like, every time he tried to get a fast pass or he was there, it was like a 280 minute wait every time.
God.
I'm like, holy fuck. But one of my bucket list is to go to as many overseas Disney parks as I can. And I really want to visit Tokyo as well. I mean, I've always wanted to go to Tokyo no matter what. I've always wanted to go to Paris. I've always wanted to go to London. Shanghai, never been really high on my list. In Hong Kong, maybe.
I'd go to Hong Kong before I went to Shanghai.
If I'm near Shanghai, I'm going to go to Hong Kong. Or if I'm near Tokyo, might as well try to plan to go to all three.
Yeah.
Make it worthwhile if you can. If you can't, you know, next time. But, yeah. I don't know. Looking forward to that, man. I think that about covers it.
Everything Disneyland related we covered in passing.
Yes.
So that one's taken care of as far as I'm concerned.
And I'm sure both of our lists are going to change once we ride some of the new attractions that we haven't been on.
Yeah.
So
let me ask, I was going to, this isn't exactly on theme, but it was an idea I had. It's related. Not an attraction or a show or anything like that. What's just a place you like to be in each park? Just one place that you're like, I just like to sit here, or I just like to walk through this place.
Okay. Epcot, there's a bench that's between Journey into Imagination and the Land.
Okay.
For some reason, I just like sitting there. I don't know.
Okay.
You see the monorail come by, and it's just nice and relaxing, you know?
Okay. I don't know that bench. Not sure which one you're talking
about.
It's
bench about. Number two.
Bench number two.
I don't know. That's a good question. Let me phrase a different question to you. I'll think about this. What's your favorite thing to eat in any of the parks?
That's...
Could be a sit-down restaurant, could be a snack, it could be whatever.
That one's going to require some thought.
I can tell you what mine is right now.
Recollecting. What?
Currently in my mind, since I was just there, it's the Loaded Dole Whip at Disneyland. It's amazing. It's orange and pineapple Dole Whip. And it has crystallized hibiscus. It has fresh fruit on the bottom of it. And it has coconut, shredded coconut. And for some reason, it has Pocky sticks.
Oh, yeah. I remember you talking about the Pocky sticks.
It's the most amazing thing I've ever
eaten. That does sound good.
It's really, really good. I hope they bring that to Florida sometime because that would be amazing.
For me, in Magic Kingdom, talk kind of appropriate there, a place I just kind of like to be, I don't know why, but that stretch in Adventureland near the Swiss Family Treehouse, I don't know why, I just like that area. I just like walking through it.
Okay.
Don't know why.
Yeah.
But I do. Epcot, I think there's probably a few in Epcot, but I love walking through the quote unquote alleys in Morocco. Just being back in that area. I just like being there.
I would say, Epcot, I like strolling now through World Showcase.
Yeah, totally. There are several places around World Showcase that are just nice places to just
you can work
sit
off
and
lunch.
Hang out and work off. Because if I'm at Epcot, I'm eating, man. Uh-huh. Like I'm eating food at Epcot.
Especially if you're Food and Wine time or any of the times that they have extra booths with food.
Hollywood Studios. I don't know if I really have like a favorite.
I have
little,
memories of places.
Little
you know?
Spot. I'll put it this way. I don't. It's not so much a spot I like to be in. I like the Gertie.
Yeah.
In Echo Lake.
Yeah.
Because of the significance of who Gertie is.
Right.
I think that's cool.
If you don't know who Gertie is, it's one of the very first animated characters
ever.
Ever.
Yeah. I like Gertie in Animal Kingdom, cool place to just hang out. Maybe my Maharaja one classifies as that. I just like being in there. Disneyland, it's been so long, it's hard to remember.
There's so many places I love at Disneyland.
Yeah.
It's
been a long time. I was a kid. Looking at the facade of Small World is actually really cool at Disneyland.
When we were there, there's the nighttime show that they do, and it wasn't a great show, but they projected it on the castle. And they also projected on the facade of It's a Small World.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool to watch. That there's a Haunted Mansion scene. It was pretty. It was pretty cool to watch it on that facade.
Cool.
All right. So I think we covered a lot here.
We did.
Now we'll have to see what George's opinions are. You know, going back to it, you said my favorite place to be in Magic Kingdom? Riding on the People Mover.
Fair enough.
Actually, going up the moving sidewalk to get into the People Mover.
Yeah.
Sort of bouncy.
You like that?
I like that. I don't know. That's just a weird thing, but there it is.
Okay. You know what? If I think of Magic Kingdom at night.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of places
that
are just fantastic at night. Tomorrowland, I love all lit up in the weird purples and yellows and greens and
you
stuff.
You never tell me
night.
Your favorite food.
I know. I can't. I'd have to think about it. I don't know.
Does it pop into your mind? Like a Dole Whip or...
I mean, I like a Dole Whip. I like, you know, some of the kind of classic stuff. Here's a weird one. I saw you had commented on something about hating turkey legs.
I do not like turkey legs.
Okay. I've never eaten a turkey leg at a Disney park because that doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
to me, turkey legs are a thing that happened at the Renaissance Festival. Well, where I will eat turkey legs.
Oh, will you eat them?
Oh, absolutely. You've okay. seen me. You've seen me decimate a turkey leg at the.
Actually, I have. You're right.
But at Disney, no thanks. But I'm not interested.
I'm weird. I don't like chicken with bones in it either. I don't like okay. fried chicken with bones that much. And I don't. I mean, I'll eat them sometimes. Like you know, chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my favorite thing.
Okay.
I'd rather have a boneless wing. I love the flavor and everything, but just not a fan of things with bones in it.
Doesn't bother
it's,
me.
Yeah, just – so yeah, definitely don't like turkey legs. It's yeah. like a huge-ass chicken wing.
I will say one of the best meals I've ever had at Disney was on my honeymoon in Epcot at the Coral Reef.
Oh, really?
This is not a standard menu item. It was a special thing they were doing just at that time.
Was it Nemo?
It was Nemo.
Nemo's they found him.
Fucking delicious, guys. They had swordfish steaks.
Oh, yeah.
On risotto. It was...
Oh, fancy.
It was so good.
Mushroom risotto?
No, it was just kind of a risotto thing going on there. But
Gordon Ramsay would be proud.
It was one of the best meals I've had at Disney, and they don't have that. Like, we've gone back to the Coral Reef a couple of times looking for that, yeah. and it's not a standard menu item. They've never had it again. It was like that one
swordfish
time.
Swordfish steak?
Swordfish steak.
You could find that locally, too.
Oh, I'm sure. It was just...
That it was probably a combination of everything.
It was a combination of being their honeymoon
yeah.
special, and then they brought us, like, a special dessert. And,
gotcha.
And that was part of it, too. It was a...
What's your favorite restaurant?
That's a tough call. That is a tough call. I like a lot of the food there. Maybe my favorite counter service is maybe, and I can't remember the name of it. I always forget the name of it. But the counter service restaurant in the Japan Pavilion.
Teppanito.
That's the hibachi, like the yeah. sit down. That's the nice one. I've eaten there too.
I think there was a kid and I didn't want to be there. When you were the kid, you're like, oh, F this. I don't want to yeah. be here. Go get me a burger.
Yeah. But no, the counter service place in the Japan Pavilion. Okay. I really like that place. I think it's good. I don't have a favorite. I like a lot of the food, but I couldn't pick. I don't think I could pick a favorite.
Any
favorite dining experience, though? Was probably the time when I was a kid and actually got to eat in the Blue Bayou.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was fun. And I got it at that point because I remember going on the ride and what are all those people doing over there, you know? And then actually getting to go eat over there in the swamp in Louisiana and all that kind of themed stuff. I enjoyed that.
Speaking of my honeymoon, we ate at Jiko, which... was amazing. I was one of the best steaks I've ever had, and it was very I remember because we were on the dining plan and it's like, oh, it's two dining plan things. Oh, mm-hmm. It must be great. And I was just starting to become adventurous with stuff that I would eat, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And that was a very good experience. And Ohana, I love Ohana.
Never had the chance.
Ohana, the last time we were there was not as good. When I took my nieces there, they were 9 and I think 14, 15 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we took him to Ohana. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had at a Disney restaurant.
We tried to get in the last time we went and we couldn't. We just
Have
couldn't
you tried
in.
For next month?
No. Well, we're going to be doing so much other stuff. I'm not worried about
it's
it.
Not that
next
far
month.
From Magic Kingdom though.
I know.
It's a monorail trip.
Monorail ride away.
That's right.
I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe we'll see what we can do.
All right. Well, I think that wraps it up.
We've about beaten this dead horse as long as we can, I think.
So now we're going to go listen to Dead Horse,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to talk about our sponsor and wrap up this episode. We'll be right back.
Hi there. In absence of George, are we going to tickle our own geeks?
I wouldn't mind a little geek tickle.
Okay.
Want to go first?
Demons and Wizards.
Fuck you.
In Dallas. In
tier.
And Tyr, yeah. I didn't even know that Tyr was playing when we were going. I just wanted to go see Demons and Wizards, but that Tyr is also playing. Bonus.
Yeah, fuck yes.
Yes.
I've seen them live.
I haven't. I've almost seen them live a few times, but I've always ended up missing them. So I'm looking forward to that. But Demons and Wizards, man, this is a rare opportunity. And so...
If I wasn't out in the middle of the ocean... celebrating my anniversary, I would be at that show. That's for sure.
Yep. That's what's tickling me.
It's making me sad.
Sorry.
At least I'll get a shirt out of it, though. What's tickling my geek is I got tickets for the first Phasm night for Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
Oh, yeah.
Which is actually the day before my birthday. So it's going to be a fun night. Looking forward to that a lot.
Very cool.
Yeah, tickling my geek. Yeah. And Demon of the Wizards, even though I don't. We'll talk about a sponsor real quick, and then let's wrap it up, because I'm tired.
Me too.
You got to get out of here. So, if you're looking for cool stuff like a Funko Pop or other collectibles like Bandai, Artifacts, Band Presto, and more, go to tantrumcollectibles.com, put in the code Metal Geeks to save 10% off your order. Not a bad deal, right?
Good deal.
You looking for anything? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what you can do?
I can put in something.
Okay, George.
So, yes, use our code when you check out.
That's right.
Save 10%.
That's right.
Metal Geeks at checkout.
All right, so thanks for tuning in to this amazing episode. We had a lot of fun talking about our favorite Disney attractions. George will be back next time. Hopefully you get better, man. Rest up and feel better. So if you're trying to find us on the interwebs, go to metalgeeks.net. Keep up with all the geekery there. If you want to email us your opinions, any topics you want us to cover, msrcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Metal Geeks, as well as our sister show at MSR Cast. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, all those good places. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find us, leave us, you know, once you find us there, subscribe, leave a review, let us know what you think about the show, let your friends know about the show. What else is there? We're on Stitcher, we're on Spotify, Google Play Store, all those good places. And don't forget to pay a visit to our affiliate over at esonetwork.com. And, you know, there's a bunch of great podcasts.
A buttload.
A metric buttload of amazing podcasts. All good people. Check them out on their website, esonetwork.com. Or you can find them on your favorite podcast catcher. There's one feed that can you can listen to all the shows, including this one. And where can people find you?
Look for Red Viking Dave on a social media near you. See what I'm drawing, see what shows I'm going to, that kind of thing. I have a bunch of concert photos that I need to post, I guess.
That'd be fun. Some epic black metal concert photography.
Yep.
Let's do it. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode. As always, we have one last thing we have to say.
Keep it metal.
And keep it geeky. It's weird that George doesn't have the last word here.
Balls.
My name is Quoth. I tread paths by moonlight that others fear to speak of during the day. I've talked to gods, loved women, and written songs that make the minstrels weep. You may have heard of me. Join Mandy and her friends as they explore Patrick Rothfuss's best-selling fantasy series, The Kingkiller Chronicle. You can find us at casterquest.com or on the ESO Network.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.